Please remember, this is an adults-only podcast and does contain some very sensual themes. So please, only listen to this podcast if you are happy to explore your deepest sensual fantasies with me and are of a suitable age. Hi, it's Devlin, and welcome to another episode of Wild in Bed, your destination for salacious stories, sensual satisfaction, and heart-pounding horrors. Now, before we go any further, tonight's story is very dark, I warn you now. It's not the normal sensual pleasure. Although some people might find it a sensuous pleasure, it is dark, it is brutal. Be warned. Don't blame me if you get nightmares. Now, as you enjoyed tonight's little story, you know you can enjoy even more intense pleasure and unending satisfaction by coming to see me at wilddesires.com, where you can test ride your own free fantasies just for coming. Now, you know this podcast is best enjoyed laying on your bed. Just put your earbuds in, close your eyes, and surrender to the pleasure of my voice moving over and inside you. And when you're ready to immerse yourself in this story, go ahead and take a deep breath and just hold it for a moment. And then let it go with a sigh, letting go of any tension, any stress. For the next 30 minutes or so, it's just you and my voice. This is your time to relax, your time for sensuous satisfaction, your time to enjoy a dark, macabre story, your time to release that inner woman as you listen to my voice and feel the story moving through your body as you enjoy tonight's show. It would be easy for Jake to call his meal bland, but that really didn't adequately describe how boring the grey slop in his bowl was. But that was the price of living in the middle of nowhere. As he stared at the dripping spoon before his mouth with dread, he reminded himself this was nutritional. This would help him survive the winter ahead. Another scream echoed around his house, the fifth today. Furious, Jake threw his spoon back into the bowl, which made a disappointing slurping sound as it landed. "Shut up!" he screams at the wailing noise. "I'm trying to fucking eat!" Waiting for a moment, Jake's shoulders visibly drop as silence floods around his home. It wasn't often that Jake had inspiration, but an idea filled his mind. Leaning over, he pressed the on button of his radio and relaxed a little deeper as country music filled his kitchen. As he went to take another mouthful of food, a well lifted above the sound of the radio. Throwing his spoon down again, he turned the volume up higher to drown out that awful noise. "Why the fuck can't you just shut up and leave me in peace?" Another almost mouthful, and yet again the wailing rose, drowning the radio into nothingness. Leaning over, he turned the volume up as high as it would go before returning to the bowl of food. This time he managed to get the food into his mouth before the wailing lifted so loud to make the bowl shake. Spitting his food from his mouth, fury rose through him like a torrent. Standing, he stalked to the wood pile and picked up the axe next to it, taking a moment, as he often did, to stare into the fire, losing himself in whatever he saw there. "Okay, I'm done. You have everything you needed and you still keep plaguing me," he shouts, wiping the remnants of food from his bearded mouth as he walks down the darkened corridor. Standing before a wooden door at the end, rolling his shoulders as if about to engage in some strongman competition. The bunch of keys jangled just loudly enough to be heard despite the noise from radio and wailing. singling one out. He slides it into the lock and turns it. A click marking the end of his suffering. The room beyond the door is dimly lit, the dark corridor adding no light to the shadows that dance around the near-naked woman crouched on the floor. Of course the darkness made little difference to her. Dried blood caked her face from underneath the makeshift blindfold, cum bandage, that had been in place for the past few weeks. She struggled against the manacles that held her arms upright, as if she was trying to reach the showerhead that was some 6 feet above her. "You just don't shut up, Petal," Jake mumbled as he spun the faucet round, ice-cold water flooding down her body, darkened by the dried blood as it escaped through the hole beneath her. Screaming in response, she pleads with him, "Please, let me go. Haven't you done enough?" "First a lift, then a bed for the night, a hot meal, sex. When you asked me if I'd tie you up and tease you, I did just that. Now all I get is screams and whining. Petal, you are giving me a headache." He stared down at her. He really wasn't sure how long it had been since he first picked her up when she was hitchhiking through the mountains. It must have been a few months ago, because the day was damn hot. She was there, all cut-off shorts showing the cheeks of her ass, and torn rock-chick t-shirt, barely hiding her breasts. "Fucking tease," he mumbled. Her blonde hair wasn't quite as pretty now, and although her nipples were as erect as the day he picked her up, they just didn't have the same appeal. "Guess I got bored of your whining, Petal," he said, shaking his head. As Tammy Wynette came on the radio, he closed his eyes, immersing himself in the music. Jake couldn't sing. Even he had to admit that. But he did like to try, especially when he was engaged in some hard physical labor. Closing the door behind him, he walked through the water swirling across the floor before he started tunelessly following the song. Raising his axe, he sang even louder as he brought it down, the water turning a darker and darker crimson with each strike. 1 year later. The day was a beautiful one. Dark clouds hung beyond the mountains in the distance, but they were so far off, they really didn't matter. Trixie jumped from the old Chevy pickup. She couldn't believe this house was finally theirs. The view alone was worth all the effort. She ran up the path to the old door before stopping and looking back at Mitch, who was trying to lift some boxes from the back. "Leave that," she said coyly, bending her leg and teasingly lifting her fingertip along the frayed edge of her cut-off denim shorts. "We've got a house to christen." She probably should have worn a bra, but that would have been a sensible thing to do. But damn it, Trixie was well known for her impulsiveness, and the caress of the cotton of her artfully torn Metallica t-shirt made her nipples so damn hard. Something she just knew Mitch could never resist. "Come on, hunky chunk. I need your cock more than I need those silly boxes," she called out as she pinched her nipples seductively. "Are you gonna fuck me? Or am I just gonna have to grab my vibrator and do it myself?" Dropping the box to the ground, Mitch ran up the path, butterflies exploding in fountains of colours around him as he fumbled for the keys in his jeans, struggling with the lock. Eventually the door creaked open. Desperately Mitch pushed against it, forcing it fully open. Grabbing Trixie's wrist, he drags her inside. When they are just inside, they turn against the wall, and with a frantic passion, he lifts her t-shirt over her head, exposing her exquisite breasts. He pauses for a moment to admire them before kissing down her neck. With a vicious abandon, he bites down her breasts, his tongue flicking voraciously at her soft skin. Trixie's fingers grasp his hair, pulling him hard against her nipples. Bunching his hair tightly, she urges him lower. His lips trace over her stomach. His fingers release the button of her denim shorts, sliding them over the curve of her ass. Trixie wriggles to let them fall to the ground, flicking the discarded shorts with her foot. They disappear into the shadows of the room. As Mitch lowers to his knees, Trixie pushes two fingers between her thighs, teasing her already wet lips, before pushing inside. Moaning loudly, she pulls her fingers back out and traces a line of her wet passion across Mitch's eager lips. "Are you going to be a good boy and eat me, Mitch?" she says coyly. Without waiting, he thrusts his tongue between her thighs, tasting the beautiful juices dripping from her folds. Leaning back against the wall for stability, Trixie hitches a leg over Mitch's shoulder, exposing her wet pussy to him. Growling, he parts her lips with his thumb, flicking hungrily at her clit. She grasps his hair, pushing her back up and down the wall, riding his mouth. Her moans increase as he plunges his fingers deep into her welcoming pussy, massaging the walls with the tips of his fingers. Her passion grows as she rides him harder, pulling him against her, his beard bristling at her sensitive lips. Wanting him to see the effect he is having, she looks down, managing to say between gasps, "Look at me, honey." Seeing his blue eyes sparkling as he looks up from her pussy sends Trixie over the edge. Her core tenses as a wildfire of passion shoots through her veins. "Oh, fuck," she cries as her orgasm explodes deep inside. Not wanting the sensations to stop, she lowers her leg quickly from his shoulder, turns and says, "Take me from behind. Fuck me hard, Mitch. Don't go treating me like a porcelain doll." Hurriedly, Mitch loosens his jeans, letting them drop to the floor as he grasps his cock and pushes it deep inside Trixie. The tremors of her last orgasm still reverberate through her pussy, clutching with a desperate need as Mitch's fingernails dig into her hips, pulling her back onto him, hammering into her wet pussy. Trixie pushes against the wall, forcing his cock even deeper inside her, the waves of her orgasm growing into a tsunami of pleasure. Feeling his cock filling her, her core clutches at it, forcing his aching cock to swell to the point of exploding. Together they tense as he erupts warm cum inside her, her orgasm exploding again as she cries, "Fuck, Mitch!" The sensation of his pulsing cock is so beautiful. Trixie's pussy clutches onto it, massaging every drop out of him. As the pleasure subsides, they drift to the floor. Trixie resting her head against his chest as she listens to his slowing heartbeat. "Mitch, do you think we have enough furniture for this place?" she whispers. "We kind of bought it on the spur of the moment, and we haven't even really looked around it yet properly." "Trixie, we can always buy more furniture," he says with a gentle smile. "And I know you. There is no way a woman like you, with your shopping talents, will leave a corner of this place empty." "I guess I'm still real anxious to see our furniture here. Do we know what time it will be coming tomorrow?" she says with a hint of excitement. "Nope, sorry. They just said they'll text me in the morning," Mitch responds. "Maybe Jack Hargreaves, or whatever his name was that lived here before, has left some we could use." Trixie giggles gently before saying, "From what I've heard of him, we probably wouldn't want any. Did you read the stuff I printed out for you?" "You know, I forgot about that," he says apologetically. "What did it say?" "Well, they found him up here dead, after that really bad winter last year." Trixie lowers her voice to add the impact as she continues. "And they found blood, human blood. So they figured he turned to cannibalism to try and survive." "Gross. Well, remind me to throw out any cooking utensil we find," Mitch says, squirming. "You really find it exciting, don't you? Just thinking about it." "Well, yeah. You know how I love a good horror. And what better horror than in the house you're living in? Maybe it's haunted, Midge. We could have a voyeur ghost watching me blow you. God, that would be so horny. Yes, Mitch replies, without Trixie's enthusiasm. Come on, let's get the truck unloaded before that storm hits and find our blankets. Guess that's going to be our bed for the night. And if you're good, I'll get a fire going. If I can remember how to. Trixie kisses his chest before standing up, wondering where her shorts had gone. Mitch watches her, fondly smiling, before spanking her butt playfully and saying, Just put your t-shirt back on. I'll get the boxes in. You find the flask of coffee and cold pizza we saved from last night. Maybe see if you can find the torches, and we can do a bit of exploration before night hits. Unloading the boxes actually took less time than they had thought, and thanks to Trixie's hidden talent of organization, the blanket, pizza, coffee and torches were all in one box, ready for their first night. They decided to explore separately, neither of them feeling a huge amount of enthusiasm for it until the electric was connected in the morning. Their exploration lasted little more than an hour before they met up in front of the open fireplace. Find anything good, Trix? Mitch asked. Just the shower room needs a serious makeover. It stank. I don't think I'll be using it for a while. What about you? Just some bits and pieces. I'll show you after dinner. I'm starving. Honey, it's cold in here. The pizza is cold. I'm not eating until you have a roaring fire going in that fireplace. The art of lighting a fire returned to Mitch fairly easily, and within 10 minutes the flames danced over the logs, crackling with enthusiasm as the fire grew. I knew I could do it, Mitch said proudly. Trixie had laid the blankets out on the floor to form a crude mattress in front of the fire, and the open box of cold pizza and coffee looked extremely welcoming. Dang, I didn't know how hungry I was. I'm really glad we bought that now. Taking a slice of pizza, Mitch paused to watch the light of the fire dance across Trixie's face. You really are so beautiful, he said, every word dripping with sincerity. As they devoured the cold pizza, with nothing left in the box, they tore it up and threw it on the fire. A gentle hiss emanating from the logs as the fire burned through the last of the remaining cheese. You're holding out on me, mister, Trixie said with a mischievous glint in her eyes. I am? Mitch asks. Yeah, you are. You haven't shown me what you found, she says playfully. Mitch grabs a cloth bag from the corner of the room. Close your eyes, Trixie. You'll love this. Obediently, she closes her eyes as Mitch says, Hold out your hand. Raising her left hand, she feels cold metal surrounding her wrist before hearing a click. Opening her eyes, she stares at the manacled secure to her wrist. Where did you find that? It was upstairs. Honestly, the rest of the house seems empty, he said. Do you think he was some kind of kinky fucker? God, this house gets better and better. Ever wanted to try it? Not the silk we used before, but something more heavy duty, Mitch said with the devilishness in his eyes. A wave of rain hit the window, announcing the arrival of the storm that had been threatening all day, surprising them both. Trixie turns back to Mitch, grinning. I'm game for most things, you know that. But where can we fix it? Looking around, Mitch sees two large rings attached to the hearth. We can thread them through that, he announces triumphantly. Go on then. Which way do you want me? Boring and vanilla? Or you want to see my ass that you like so much? Definitely your ass, he said, grinning widely. Fixing the other manacle around Trixie's other wrist and clicking it shut, Mitch stops and stares into the fire, losing himself in the flames. The storm outside builds to a crescendo, thunder drumming through the house, fingers of lightning flashing light through the windows. Well, come on, my pussy ain't used to waiting, Trixie eventually says, shattering any thoughts Mitch had. Just make sure you get the right hole in this darkness. Mitch turns and looks at Trixie before kneeling in front of her face. Running his fingers through her hair, he pulls it back harshly, forcing her mouth open. Before she can say a word, Mitch thrusts his hard cock ferociously into her mouth, pounding into her throat like a beast possessed. Tears stream down Trixie's eyes as his cock pushes deeper and deeper inside. "Suck my cock, petal," he moans as his balls bash against Trixie's chin, gasping for breath. Trixie can't find a space to ask him to stop, to tell him how much she doesn't like this. Without warning, he pulls out of her mouth and moves behind her. "Mitch, if you wanted a blowjob, you just needed to ask," she says, her voice cracking. "You whine too much, petal," he says sternly before ripping her t-shirt and tying it around her mouth in a makeshift gag. Parting her ass cheeks, he forces his cock deep and hard into her butt, her body tensing from the unpleasurable sensation as he forces himself violently past her tight ring of muscle with deep, unforgiving thrusts. The tears that had started streaming down her cheeks earlier were now a veritable waterfall from the sensations of being fucked so hard in her ass. This was most definitely not sexy. The brutality of his fucking is like nothing Trixie has ever experienced with Mitch before, and she hopes like hell she would never again. Her relief came not from her own orgasm, but from feeling Mitch silently come inside her. God, she hoped it was over now. Deathly silent, Mitch withdrew and stood up, walking toward the fire. Sore and aching, Trixie managed to pull the gag from her mouth and asked between sobs, "Why were you so fucking brutal, Mitch? That wasn't good." Mitch just shrugs his shoulders while he stares into the fire, as if lost in a dream. He picked up the old axe that stood there before turning to face Trixie. In the firelight, she can see his features contrite. Somehow, he looked older, more sinister. And to the people on the far side of the valley, that night, the noises would have sounded like coyotes howling at the storm, or perhaps a scream of the wind through the trees. But we know different, dear listener. So I hope you enjoyed that. Yes, my little first foray into horror. Let me know what you think. Let me know. I know it's a bit different from other stuff, but hell, it's a bedtime story of sorts. You know, maybe you enjoyed it, maybe you didn't. Let me know. Let me know if you enjoy it, and I'll do some more. If it's not your thing, just let me know as well, and I won't do some more. How's that? So let's all have a vote. Now, on Friday. Yes, we have Audio Secrets. Almost forgot what it was called then. We have Audio Secrets. Not sure what I'm going to say, but it's an impulsive, impromptu thing anyway. And next Monday, well, let's see what your feedback is. If you want more horror, I will do you another horror. If you want soft and sensual, I will do you soft and sensual. If you just want dark and dirty, then I will do you dark and dirty. Let me know what your pleasure is. So I look forward to seeing you on Friday when I can get you back into my booth. And Monday when I can get you into my bed. And we can get wild all over again. But for now, and always with your pleasure in mind, this is Devlin Wild wishing you salacious dreams. Now, as you have enjoyed this show this evening, you can go ahead and subscribe to my podcast so you don't miss another salacious episode. And you know you can go ahead and visit me at wilddesires.com and grab your own free experiential erotic story just for coming.